Good morning, everyone. Good, it's like being back at school, that. Lovely. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's no open air this morning. There's something else going on around the town. But we will be having tea and coffee following our worship this morning. But, there's a but. If you are not in the picnic that is going to take place in the community hall to celebrate the Queen, then can you vacate your table by 25 past 12 so that then we can change this look of the hall for the party. So yes, please stay and have tea and coffee, but go home by 25 past 5, okay? That's it. Tonight there's a Pentecost Zoom meeting. That's on at 5:30. And if you've got your newsletter, you'll find the details how to get onto that. On Wednesday, as always, Friends Together meet, and that's from 1:30 onwards. Band and songsters, it's back to normal. Rehearsals will be on this coming week. Can I advise you to take your newsletter home with you? Read it, and in it you'll find lots of events requiring help and volunteers. If you think you can do any of those, if you contact the event organizer, who you'll see at whatever event that you want to go to, and please get in touch with them and offer your help. In your planning, remember there are two very special Sundays coming up very soon. The first one is July the 3rd, and that's the farewell meetings of our officers David and Katrina. And then on the 24th of July is the welcome to our new commanding officers. So if you bear those in mind, so you're not taking yourself away from the farewell or the welcome on that Sunday. Thank you very much for listening. And now, over to our commanding officers.
I just knew we set out to do something. Invitation to respond to God. Come, Holy Spirit. The one who sang a new melody as God's creation rose from chaos, who wept at the dark shadow of a cross, and who danced early in the morning at the opening of an empty tomb.
Come, Holy Spirit, the one who could not be contained by wind or flame or breath, the one who blesses the church with courage, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit, to us who gather this day with trembling hands and uncertain hearts. Teach us to sing a new song and to dance with reckless abandon.
Here in this gathering of believers, as you did with those who so long ago, breathe upon us now, O God. Breathe on us, blow away our fears and our hesitations.
Breathe on us, transforming our hard-heartedness into passion-filled lives. Breathe on us, for we need peace. Peace that only you can give. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, the day we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, those disciples who'd been waiting, Jesus had told them to wait. He had gone back to the Father. But they knew that they were waiting for something new, the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And so we're going to sing the song, O God of burning cleansing flame, send the fire. Shall we rise and we'll sing the song straight through, please?
Thank you.
We're going to sing another song together. 365, if you're using the songbook. He is the Lord and he reigns on high. He is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord, who is like unto him, never ending in days. He is the Lord, and he comes in power. When we call on his name, he is the Lord. Oh, that the Lord might visit us again this day and anoint each of us afresh with his Holy Spirit. Let's listen to a few bars of the tune, and then we'll sing the song straight through. Thank you. Let's take our seat, shall we? Let's prepare for prayer. Let's continue to focus upon God, our Father, through Jesus, his Son, and open ourselves, our hearts and our minds, to a fresh anointing of God's Holy Spirit as we sing together all over the world. The Spirit is moving all over the world, as the prophet said it would be, all over the world. There's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Together, please. Thank you. right here in this place. Deep down in my heart, the Spirit is moving. Deep down in my heart, as the Spirit said it would be. Let's sing that third verse together again, shall we? And I'd like to leave the meeting open for one or two people, please, to share with us short believing prayers this morning. In Jesus' name, thank you. The chorus once more, and then pray. Amen. Let's share together, shall we, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples as we continue to worship the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're going to be blessed just now, as the band kindly contribute to our worship, as they play for us, Be Still. Now, as a church, we celebrate Pentecost today, but I think it's important to that we recognise the importance to our nation of this weekend as we celebrate and give thanks to God for the life of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II and her 70 years reign to this date. But we want to give thanks to God for her life. And sometimes I wish we wouldn't speculate on the TV and make comments about both Her Majesty and her family. They're an ordinary family like many of us, and there are some queer folk in my family, and no doubt in yours too. But we pray for Her Majesty. Sorry, I do apologise. We pray for Her Majesty that God will bless her in these days. And I'm grateful to Major Andrew Bale of Southend, who will be moving to Norwich Citadel at the next change. He has created a slideshow to a lovely piece of music. So I'm going to invite you simply to listen to it. And then after that, we're going to stand together. I think we'll share together the national anthem before we say a prayer for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. So let me invite you, please, to watch and to listen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's share a prayer, shall we? Father God, we ask your blessing upon our Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. We thank you for her commitment to you and for her life of service and dedication to this country and to the Commonwealth. We pray your rich blessing upon her in these days and ask you, Father God, just to surround her with a sense of your peace and love and grace. Bless her and her family, and through her, Lord, help us to take the example she has set and be prepared to live our lives in service of each other and of the nation and the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much indeed. I'm going to invite a young man to come and join me, Matthew. Matthew's got a poem he wants to share with us. So let's give him some encouragement, please.
The Spirit is there to inspire you each day to be like Jesus as you work and pray. The fruits and gifts to use and to share at home, in school, and everywhere. If you are anxious or have challenges to face, remember that God's Spirit will fill you with grace. Look deep within you for all that you need, the gifts and the fruits to help you succeed. The Spirit is with us each day of our, every day of our life, helping us to help others in moments of trouble. With these four little words can surely overcome any obstacles we meet. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Amen.
Amen. Very good.
Well, that was very nice, Matthew, very nicely spoken. And you're reminding us all about what today is about Pentecost. Yeah, and about the Holy Spirit coming. Well, today we haven't actually got a Sunday school today, but you'll see down there that there is a table down there with some colours on, okay? And just behind Kirsty, up on the ledge there, there is a picture there that you can colour with the disciples, and there's also some glue up there and some tissue paper, because I would like you to colour the disciples in and then to put the flames landing on them on their heads. Would that be okay? Okay, so if you take that down, okay, and that shows you what we've got to do, because we've got Felicity here, and we've got Hudson here, and June, so you're going to do some lovely pictures. So thank you once again. Give them a round of applause. Thank you very much. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 21. It's very poignant that as we enter these days where we've been through 2 years of lockdown, of not being able to gather, isn't it wonderful that on this Pentecost day we can gather and we can gather together? And that's the same for that first Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard in their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?"
Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had far too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on my all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Amen. We're now going to listen to the message from the songsters entitled "Pour Thy Spirit" before we look further at God's word for us today.
want to say thank you, songsters, songs leader. Pour your spirit. If God was to pour his spirit afresh upon you today, how would you be different? What would it mean? You see, as Christians, we experience God in three distinct ways. We recognize him as creator of the world in which we live. And then through the life and the ministry and the death and resurrection of Jesus, we discover him to be our redeemer, the one who sets us free from our sins and all those things that separate us from being able to enter his presence. And then Jesus promised that we would receive power from on high when we receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's the very first greeting he gave his disciples in the upper room on that first day of the week. He entered the locked room and he breathed upon them and he said, "Shalom, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, up until that point in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had been given to specific people for a particular role that they were fulfilling for God in the world in which they ministered. Joel, some 400 years before the events that we read of in Acts of the Apostles, said that there would come a time when God would pour his Spirit out on all flesh, male and female, young and old. Whether you're going to see visions or dream dreams, I don't care, as long as you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot be all that God intends us to be if we do not receive from him that which he desires to give to us, an infilling of his Holy Spirit. The one thing I like about the books of Acts is as you read it, you discover that it's the same people being filled time and time again with the Holy Spirit. Because as Christians, we leak. We're like a sieve. God pours his Spirit into us, and it's not intended that actually we're filled with the Holy Spirit just for our own blessing, but that the Holy Spirit flows through us and blesses and ministers to the people around us, both those who are saved and those who are unsaved. That's what I like about the Lord's my shepherd, Psalm 23. And David says, "My cup is filled." Now, if you read the good news, it says, "My cup is filled to the brim." You read the authorized version, "My cup is overflowing." Now, this one I'm asking you, are you filled to the brim or are you overflowing? God doesn't just intend that you be filled so that you are satisfied. He wants you to be filled with his Holy Spirit so that you overflow. The love of God overflows through the way you live your life, the way you speak to each other and to the world around us, that you share his concern for your neighbors and this town and this nation and this world. See, I believe we're living in last days. I believe at any time Jesus is going to come to collect his church and will begin the time of tribulation before he comes to set up his millennium reign. We need to be ready. And Jesus spoke to us in parables where there were ten maids who were supposed to light the procession of the bridegroom to collect his bride. And five of them had come prepared and five of them had not come prepared. Are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you doing your part? Or are you sat on the sidelines? This is not a football match. I don't need you to sit on the sidelines cheering me on or criticizing what I'm doing. This is not a football match. Saving souls is the business of every Christian. Sharing your faith and what Jesus means to you is the work that God has given us to do. We do it with words if we have to, but we do it with our actions best of all. By coming alongside people and loving them. These are ordinary men, uneducated men and women in the upper room. Doors were locked because they were frightened. What happened? They heard a wind. They saw the flames. And the place where they were was filled. And the Spirit filled their hearts and their minds. At Jesus' anointing, the Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism in the form of a dove. Because there was peace and oneness between God and his Son. There was no need to burn up the dross and the sin. The Holy Spirit comes as a flame because we need to be sanctified. We need to be cleansed. It's not just a question of confessing our sins, but of being cleansed within. Being made a vessel that is clean and perfect for the purpose of being indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. The lovely thing about this account is that all who were in that upper room were filled. No one was excluded. We talk about the church needing to be inclusive. The church needs to be inclusive in the fact that it preaches the gospel and it brings people to a point of repentance and renewal by God. The church needs to resist the temptation to change its standards and beliefs to fit in with what the world classes as being inclusive. We are ambassadors of heaven. We're showing the glory and the holiness and the majesty of God by the way we live and speak and act towards each other. I love the old Salvation Army adage which said, hate the sin, but love the sinner. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. We're living in a day and age where the church says, come to Jesus as you are and stay as you are. It doesn't matter. Friends, it does matter. It mattered so much that Jesus had to go to the cross for the forgiveness of my sins and your sins. This is not a game. It cost God everything. His only begotten Son. And all he says to us, you can be saved if you call upon the name of the Lord. If you accept that the sacrifice of Jesus was made for you and you are prepared to confess your sins and receive an outpouring of his Spirit into your life, then you are part of this kingdom of God here on earth. Eternal life starts now, here, in this town, when you and I allow God's Spirit to live in us and transform us from the inside out. There are lots of accounts of what the Holy Spirit does for us in the New Testament. There are spiritual gifts that he gives that allows us to do certain things at certain times. He empowers us to do certain things that help build the body of Christ. But there are also fruits of the Spirit that everyone who is in Christ Jesus and has received the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5 tells us about 9 qualities of that fruit that each of us need to bear in our lives. We don't get to choose. The fruit of the Spirit is written there in Galatians 5. Read it for yourself. These are the things that God wants to produce in your life and in my life, day by day, month by month, year by year. These are the things by which we can identify those who belong to Christ. These are the things we ought to see in each other and help to bring out in each other. And as I say, for me, the lovely thing about Acts of the Apostles is on this day, 3,000 people were added to the kingdom. A few chapters later, some of the disciples were arrested and put in prison, and the believers came together and they had a prayer meeting, and God released the disciples and they went back and told everybody what had been said and done. And it says that this place where they were was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were given boldness to preach the gospel. Our generation, the nation in which we live, doesn't want the gospel to be preached on the streets of this nation anymore, because it's offensive. Because it challenges each and every one of us not to interpret the world in which we're told to interpret it. God wants us to see our need of him, and that is, he has provided a way for each and every one of us. You see, Pentecost is God's divine plan. It stands at the center of creation. It takes us from death to life. It's a new incarnation, a new resurrection. That Jesus, while he is not here physically, can be everywhere present by the Spirit, and that all believers, all 2 billion and counting, can know the presence of God. I know in the West we get concerned because the Christian faith seems to not have the power it once had. But the Christian church is still growing. It's been added to day by day across the world. Not with our technology. We've become sophisticated. But all we really need to do is come together, pray, seek God, open ourselves up to God and each other, and allow his Spirit to move within our lives. I'm going to invite you, please, just to sit, reflect upon what you've witnessed in this act of worship. If it would be helpful to come and to use this place of prayer, if you come with something in your hand, we won't disturb you. If you come without anything, somebody will come and ask you if you want them to pray with you. If you can't kneel, then please sit on a chair. Let these be moments where we're just listening to God's voice for ourselves, and we're responding to the move of God's Spirit in our midst this morning. And I listen to this lovely song, and as we do, just allow God's Spirit to touch your spirit afresh this morning. Thank you.
And that's our prayer today, Lord, that we recognise that we need you. And not just when it's convenient, but every hour, every minute of every day, we need to know your presence. Lord, help us not to push you away, but allow you to be present in our lives. We recognize, Lord, that at Calvary, some ran away, some denied, some stood at a distance. But on this Pentecost day, they were all together and they were all filled. Lord, maybe there's some times when we are tempted to run away. Sometimes there might be times when we're tempted to deny or tempted to stand at a distance and say, I can't do that, Lord. Or that's what I can do. But Lord, you need us all present so that we can be filled. And so, Lord, I ask that on this Pentecost day, that we each have the opportunity once again to feel your spirit within us, to hear your voice speaking to us, and to see you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son and that you sent the Holy Spirit so each one of us can have your presence with us day by day. Amen. Amen. Our meeting's fast drawing to a close. Our final song is song 976. David was wanting to find a song that had the word Jubilee in it. And we have one here. Shout aloud salvation, and we'll have another song. Sing it with a spirit that will start the world along. Sing it as our comrades sang it, many a thousand strong, as they were marching to glory. But it's the chorus which says, march on, march on. We bring the Jubilee. Might on, fight on, salvation makes us free. We'll shout our Saviour's praises over every land and sea as we go marching to glory. Shall we rise and we'll sing the three verses straight through, please?
I understand why it's years since I sung that song. It's hard to fit all the words in. But let me share this final blessing with you. As you enter a new week, May you experience God's presence. May you feel God's pouring out of his Spirit upon you, over your heads and your thoughts and your words of your lips, over your hearts and your feelings and emotions and your compassion for others, and over your hands and your feet as you put into action all that God has commanded you during this week, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen. Good morning and God bless you.